Yes, indeed. All right, there we go. Very good. How is everyone? What's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
And joining us in the studio, as he does every Wednesday, is friend of the show, Mr. Brian M. Lloyd. I'm sorry, I have no idea why I'm talking in that very staccato manner, but apologies. Brian, hello.
Chris, you look so swollen, tanned.
Thank you.
From your holiday.
Thank you. You know, I've been getting gains on. I've been doing it all. I'm not burnt amazingly, which was the real achievement.
But like your tan is really bringing out your Swaltron, like it's age of Swaltron.
I can see why the bodybuilders put on the tan. Yeah. I can see why they use the fake tan.
It adds definition.
It adds stuff that isn't really there, if I'm honest with you. It kind of is like makeup for men.
It's like contouring.
It is. It really is.
Do you know that you can contour your boobs now, guys?
Really?
Yeah.
So you put makeup on the like cleavage.
So if you're wearing like a cleavage top, you can put makeup on your cleavage to define your boobs more.
That was actually a thing.
I was like, God damn you, Kardashians.
That's actually a thing, because Keira Knightley did that for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, because they said she had no breasts at all.
She had no boobs whatsoever, so they had to like shade in.
Can I tell you something? As well, she was wearing a corset, so that kind of lifts.
But like, as in, she even, you know, I remember she came out and she did this typical, this is not okay, because in all of the Pirates of the Caribbean publicity material, they've like increased her breast size by like 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
So like, she literally has these enormous bountiful bosoms that she's like, I don't have those, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not what I look like. But anyway, no, but is it, it's not even like it was clever lighting. They literally opened it up in Photoshop, went bigger. There we go, that's perfect. But anyway, look, how is everyone? Brian comes in every week because this man, he's very cool. I tell you, he gets to go to all of the premieres, in some cases months before the film is even out. Brian has already seen it. He gets taken to a dark room blindfolded. He's shown it on an old projector, and then he comes here and he tells us what we should be seeing, what we should be avoiding. Brian is on the 7 o'clock show on TV3. He is the film editor of entertainment.ie, and of course he comes in every week as well with us to tell us exactly what is going on in the movie world. So Brian, busy time, of course. All the summer blockbusters are coming out. What have you seen for us this week? What are we going to know about?
I think you're going to be very interested in this film, Chris.
Straight Out of Nephew.
Straight Out of Nephew.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah, my nephew.
Otherwise known as Straight Out of Compton.
Out of Compton.
Oh, yes, nephew.
I have a crazy mother named
Ice Cube.
With
from
his
the
called
N-Words with Attitude. You can't say the N-word.
Okay,
you
now explain it for people that have no idea what Straight Out of Compton is.
Okay. It follows the story of NWA, who were basically the biggest rap group in the early 90s. And would to be, I mean, to this day, they are still incredibly well known.
Chris, like, remind us who's in that.
Okay, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, D.O.C.,
MC Ren.
MC Ren, of course. Who was the other one?
Dr. Dre.
Did I not say Dre?
No.
Dre's the easy one, sorry.
Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, MC Ren, and then DJ Yella.
DJ Yella.
Okay,
there you
cool.
go. Yeah. Now, Brian, NWA is an acronym. What does it stand for?
It stands for...
Brian, you know, because he's tried to do this with...
It stands for... Nephews with Attitude.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Nephews with Attitude.
Okay, let's move on. Tell us.
So, yeah, it's like,
makes
I mean,
me nervous. Go
it
on.
Is very, you know, like, it's a massive film. Like, I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's 2.5 hours long.
That's a long film.
That is a long film, but it is probably the most complete story you're ever going to get on NWA.
But like, you have to take liberties and cut things out here and there to get it nice and snappy. Do you know what
well,
I mean?
This is it. Like, it is very snappy. Like, I mean, okay, it is
2.5 hours
long,
snappy, though.
But
is that?
No, you feel it. Like, I mean, the pacing of it is done really well. That, like, I mean, it starts off when they were all, like, very, very young. And like, it, you know, follows all about Eazy-E and the fact that he was a bit shady when he was young, and Dr. Dre was this up and coming DJ, and Ice Cube just, you know, was kind of a bit listless and all the rest of it. And it charts the whole way through, as in they met this manager called Jerry Heller, who's played by Paul Giamatti.
Oh, cool.
He plays a great kind of managery type guy.
Yeah.
He really does. He does, though.
Him,
he plays a great kind of frustrated middle managery kind of.
Yeah, and he's all like really kind of, you guys are incredible. You've got something here. You've got bottled lightning, you guys.
Yeah, and does Eazy-E really sleazy with them, and does he try and feck them over? And
But what's good about it is that, like, it's not so sudden, as in, like, as soon as you meet him, he actually does come across quite well, and you think, wow, he kind of recognizes
this is a trustworthy guy.
Yeah, it seems like a trustworthy guy, and he recognizes that this is something new and something different than all the rest of it, and he wants to capitalize on it. But the big kind of controversy about this film is that because they cover so much ground, and they really do, like, I mean, they cover every part of their story except the parts that Dr. Dre and Ice Cube did not come off so covered in glory. There was a really famous story in the early 90s where Dr. Dre assaulted a female journalist and threw her down a flight of stairs. Yeah, this is all true, and he was convicted of assault for it as well. That was completely left out of the film.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's not maybe being as true as it could be.
Yeah, okay. And like there was other parts of it as well that like Ice Cube was mixed up in the Nation of Islam, and that's only referenced literally in one scene, and then it's never mentioned again.
Okay.
Whereas Eazy-E, who died...
Do they do much of the AIDS?
Oh yeah, they do, yeah. Like the whole, the final third act is literally all about him when he had AIDS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd say that's kind of heavy, is it?
It is, like it's very, very heavy. Like, I mean, the film, it's not light and jovial. You know,
I don't imagine it would be. Yeah.
No, like, I mean, it's very dark in places, like, and it really does show that they were these, you know, very, very violent people. Like, I mean, there's one great scene in it where Ice Cube goes into his record label's offices, and he just literally just smashes the entire place up with a baseball bat because they haven't paid him. Like, and then there's like, and Suge Knight like is in it as well, and like that guy is basically a complete psychopath if this film is to believe.
Suge Knight's a dangerous fella.
He is.
Like, I would never cross him.
Do
no.
they
He's a
focus
dangerous
on
man.
The psychology behind why these men were as angry as they
yes.
were?
Yes, oh, it does, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it does. It's very relevant in the fact that, like, you know, you see in the US, like, you know, black people, you know, black young men are being shot every day by cops and all the rest of it, the whole Black Lives Matter movement. It is quite, like, it is interesting to see that this is where it started and this is where it still is today. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that kind of way. There are a lot of scenes in it. And there's a big scene in the film as well where they were in their recording studio and they literally just walk outside to have a cigarette or something. And these cops just pull up out of nowhere and just arrest them. Like, and that was, like, after that happened, they went inside and then recorded... F the police.
Sure.
You wow.
know?
Like,
I get
that's
you.
It. And it just shows like how they came up with their songs. Like,
I'm
so
kind of, honestly, I'm kind of getting goosebumps listening to you. It sounds like a brilliant movie. Chris, it sounds like something that you would literally be sitting in the cinema.
I'd be on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I probably would be jacking off. But can I say, and I mean this, what Brian talks about, because I know the new album, Compton, is based on this film.
Yeah.
There's a song, and honestly, it makes the hair stand up on your neck because
really?
It's Dre talking about how demeaning he felt growing up being a black man.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It really is. He's like, why are these people after me? I don't get it. I've got all this rage. I don't understand why. Mm. Why am I treated so differently? And it's an incredible song. And it made me go, wow, I get it. And I get probably how powerful this film is going to be.
Yeah.
And it's straight basically going, why are they always, you know, picking on me? This is horrible. You know, I've known this since I was 9, that no one likes me, that I'm different. And you're like, wow, ouch.
No wonder.
Being a young
so
black man. And that's it. I know this is going to sound so cliched, believe me, I could never understand a black man's perspective. But this song made me go, shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We just don't get it.
No.
We don't understand. We can't understand what it's like to be those guys. Yeah. We
not
just don't get it.
Not
no.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
This film is, I will say, this film is a window into that, you know, that kind of way, because you really
the
do
utter
see
frustration and rage felt by probably a young black man.
This
no,
is
I
it. But I mean, like, they're talking Oscars already for it.
Really?
Yeah, they are talking.
Does
Oscars.
Does Dre play himself? Of course he doesn't.
No, Dre
is there
doesn't
any,
play
is there any? Is there any current Dre in it? Like in flashbacks or
no,
or
no, not
like
at all.
That?
But there is an interesting point. Ice Cube's son plays Ice Cube
that's
in it.
That's kind of cool.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah,
it's very weird, because I'll tell you why. Right, there is one famous scene in it. You know that thing, Goodbye Felicia, that he did in Friday, you know, like,
Bye Felicia. Yeah, yeah.
They actually show how he came up with that line.
Okay.
And it's basically him in a hotel room with about 3 women, and he's having sex with the 3 women, and then the Felicia, her boyfriend, turns up at the hotel room.
Okay.
And that's his dad. Like,
I know what you mean.
Like,
so,
his dad sat him down and said, yeah, so I was, like, you know, having oral sex with this
with
woman.
With 3 women.
With 3 women.
Yeah,
and then her boyfriend turned up, and then Eazy pulled a gun on them. And it's like, I was watching, I was like, Jesus Christ, like, how kind of, you know.
How odd would that be if your dad's on set that day or whatever, and he's like, so son, in this scene, you're going to have to be doing 3 women, because that's what I did.
Yeah.
I was doing 3 women.
This all happened when I was your age.
Anyway, out of 10.
It's like, I mean, it is a very, very good film. I would say 7.5 out of 10,
okay.
Right?
And why you do? Is there? There's probably a lot of nudity, is there?
Oh yeah, there's
all the bitches and the big asses the
big hoes,
the big booty hoes,
big booty hoes. But I would take 1.5 off it because it is a little bit indulgent in places.
Okay.
And it is, you know, like, it's very, very noticeable that Dr. Dre and Ice Cube are still alive, and they are very much telling the story that they want to tell.
Yeah. I get you.
That's what kind of just like struck me a bit, because like Eazy-E comes off like as this really damaged, wounded person, and the Jerry Heller guy, I mean, maybe he was a dick in real life, that's entirely possible, but like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre are kind of like
almost faultlessly good, are they?
There are some moments where they do kind of go a little bit crazy and all the rest of it, and they do get a little bit angry, but I mean, it's not to the
levels. Not particularly rounded.
No,
they're not like complex. As in, they're probably just universally good, and anything that they're angry about is someone else's fault.
Yeah, or it's justified. Like,
yes,
it's very, very well justified.
Yeah,
like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, The director and like the screenwriters all said that, oh, there was tons that we could have put in that we left out, but we had to do it because like the original cut of the film was something like 4 hours long. Oh, wow. And okay. I believe it.
Yeah.
So
look, as they say, the winners rewrite history, you know. And there you go. But you're saying 7.5 out of 10?
Yeah, like
I mean
look,
that's very good.
It's very look, I mean, it is a very, very good film, and you should definitely go see it. And if you're anyway, if you're even remotely into hip hop or even just music in general, you're gonna love this. So
what year does it come up to?
It comes right up to 1993. And actually, as well, they are making a sequel about Death Row Records and Tupac and Biggie and how Dre are interested involved in
something
else. Like, it's made huge money. Like,
man,
it's made huge money.
As Mo K, who comes on the show every Thursday, says, rap stars are the new rock stars.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Completely.
But look,
I'd love to see what he thinks of it, actually, because, like, I know.
I haven't met him since that it's been out, so I don't know if he's into it or not. I must text him. We must have a chat about it. But, Brian, until then, I am very nervous because there's something else going on here. Now, every week Brian comes in, he gives stellar film reviews like he's just given us, but he also does something else. Brian, every week you have a film quiz for us.
I do.
So, Brian, what's going on tonight?
We are going back to the start this week.
Okay.
Back to our roots.
Back to the roots.
Yeah.
Who are a great band. what we're going to do is I have 5 questions for you.
Okay.
Need you to buzz in with your name.
I hate this.
And then give me the answer.
Okay. I hate this.
And if you get it wrong, I'm going to throw the question over.
That's fair enough.
This,
okay.
This triggers me. I have to say, this gives
me
triggers.
Do you feel triggered?
I do, because I get very nervous, I get very tense. So, right, anyway, let's do this. Brian, you're going to give us 5 questions.
I am.
We have to just buzz in when we think we know the answer. Uh-huh. That's fair enough.
And they're general knowledge questions.
They're general knowledge film questions, yeah.
Okay. So, Kira, you just buzz in with your name. Okay. Do you mind if we get a bit of tense music?
Let's do this, let's do this.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, well, you haven't submitted us to this tension in a while.
Yes, we have. Okay, here we go. Question 1. And this is multiple choice.
Okay.
Who is the wife of Chris Pratt? Is it Anne Hathaway?
Kira.
Damn it.
It's Anna Faris.
Okay.
So Kira is saying Anna Faris to that question.
God damn it, I know my celebrity's husband's voice.
Kira was in there, I have to say.
Okay. Question 2.
Okay.
What is the sequel to The Addams Family? Da-da-da-dun.
Da-da-da-dun.
I think the first one was called The Addams Family Values. Or maybe that was the second one. I don't know.
I am.
Do you want to take? I'll go with The Addams Family Values.
Okay. Kira's saying Addams Family Values.
I don't know why. I have no idea.
That's a fair guess. I mean, I would literally not have been able to. I would have said Addams Family 2. So, you know, I mean, there you go.
And you know what? That's probably the name of the movie.
Well.
Okay. Question 3.
Yeah.
Complete this film title. Boys in
Chris. Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
Chris. I'm getting one at least.
Yeah, let's do it. That's all right.
I'm getting there.
Okay. Complete question 4. Complete this film title.
Okay.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom.
I'm gonna pass on that. Sorry.
I don't know.
No idea.
Nobody.
I'm sorry.
No, I can't even hazard a guess.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry, Brian. A Kingdom of the Lost Tomb Ark. Some stone. You know what I'm saying?
That was the worst.
That was close.
Some
Come on,
stone.
In fairness, it's probably some variation.
Yeah.
But
Kingdom
anyway.
Of the Lost Skellington.
Okay, so we're going to pass on that one.
We're going to pass on that. Okay, final question.
Yeah.
What was the name of the Bond film before Skyfall?
Chris.
Yeah, I know.
Quantum of Solace.
Chris?
Is what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm. I would have said Casino Royale. Well done.
Well, Kira, don't say well done yet. Okay.
No, I pretty much know by Brian. I think you got that right. Okay.
You could read Brian's body language a little better than I. There's me trying to keep a bit of suspense.
No, Brian just seems so impressed with you.
I was like, okay.
I hate being the remedial kid who, whenever he does anything remotely impressive, Brian's like, whoa,
that's
man,
so good.
Good man, Chris. But anyway, look, here's what we're going to do. I've changed my diet slightly and I've noticed my mind's working way better.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's amazing.
Have you gone vegan?
I've cut out the gluten I've noticed I'm so much more intelligent now.
I noticed as well that my arm was broken, but then I stopped eating gluten and then it automatically fused.
Awesome.
I can't believe it.
It just ossified again.
I know, yeah.
Wow,
it's just
that's
like
crazy.
The bones set. Yeah. I stopped eating white bread and then my bones fused. It's
I
incredible.
Only eat organic stuff now and I've noticed I am a lot taller. I've noticed. I've grown about 4 inches.
Really?
Which is pretty impressive. But
that's
anyway,
incredible.
Look, how about this? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take 2 tracks and we're going to come back. We're going to find out who is right, who is wrong, who is winning the film quiz here on 2FM. Oh, yes.